Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Friday, April 26, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Construction is underway for the third phase of the Sawmill Creek Road Improvement Project between Well Park and the Sawmill Creek Bridge. Anchorage-based contractor QAP will have crews working on the highway most days between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Scott Link is project engineer for QAP. He says there could be delays of around 15 minutes at times because of blasting.
We're not doing an exaggerated realignment by any means. Some of this is just for bike paths that will be on the right-hand side. So if you're going to basically shift the road towards the left or the upland side away from the water, and then the bike path will actually be on the right-hand side on the water side.
Blasting will occur along three stretches of the highway between Whale Park and Sawmill Cove Industrial Park. Both QAP and the State Department of Transportation, which is overseeing the work, wants residents to be aware that they might detect movement in the ground near blast sites. Flying rock is not a large hazard, since the area is not densely populated, but it's a possibility. Link said his company is aware that Sitkins are especially concerned about their environment.
Our job's close to Silver Bay. We want to be cognizant of the environmental impacts and make sure that we're keeping Sitka as pristine as what we found it.
The road improvements will include 2 4-foot paved shoulders, 2 11-foot travel lanes, and a multi-use pathway separated from the road by a curb and gutter. This is slightly different than the improvements in Phase 2 of the project between Jamestown Bay and Whale Park, which have no curb or gutter. QAP will be working on the road through October 15th at least, and will return next year to finish the job if necessary. QAP engineers and a blasting consultant will be on hand at 2 p.m. this afternoon in Harrigan Centennial Hall to answer the public's questions about the project. And this correction, yesterday in the story about Senator Bert Stedman appearing before the Sitka Chamber of Commerce, KCAW News inaccurately paraphrased one of the senator's remarks about the scope of the publicly owned oil resources in Alaska. The state has the largest publicly owned subsurface rights in the U.S., not necessarily in the world. Here's a brief excerpt of the senator's actual remarks on the topic.
We have a rather unique position throughout the United States, in that Alaska is the only state that owns the subsurface rights. So all the other states are individually owned. Texas has virtually no federal land to speak of in the entire state. North Dakota is the vast majority of the oil work that's going on in North Dakota and shale is on privately owned subsurface. So we're a little different there, and we're also a little different in the magnitude of our hydrocarbon basin and just the sheer volume of it. Prudhoe Bay, being a supergiant field, is one of the top 10 most prolific fields in the world. And it's also the largest conventional oil field in North America. The second largest conventional oil field in North America is Kuparik. So when you take a look at the structure of the state and the ownership interest and then the size of the issue or the hydrocarbons we have, we have a unique opportunity that is not presented to the other states. Normally they're held at the national level. So most of our comparative universes are dealing with federal governments around the world, not so much at the local level or the state level.
You can read the KCAW news story or listen to the senator's full remarks to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce at our website, kcaw.org. If you notice some of your friends and neighbors walking around without their hair this weekend, there's a good explanation. The annual St. Baldrick's Day fundraiser takes place tonight. So what does that mean? KCAW's Anne Bryce explains.
15-year-old Sitka High student Celia Lubin is going to shave her head tomorrow.
Well, I'm really stoked.
But she's not doing it for the fun of it. It's for a good cause.
All the money that people donate goes directly to research for research, not only research, but like support for pediatric cancer.
It's an event for a national nonprofit called the St. Baldrick's Foundation that raises money across the country to fund pediatric cancer research. Dave Vastola is a pediatric doctor at CERCH and is the main organizer for the Sitka event.
There's very, very little research money that goes into pediatric cancers.
It started in 1999 on St. Patrick's Day, when insurance executives in Manhattan wanted to raise money for a cancer center in the area, by having people collect pledges to shave their heads.
You know, they had hoped to raise $17,000, and they raised over $100,000.
The foundation became official in 2004.
And since then, it's grown, you know, exponentially.
St. Baldrick's has won more than $100 million in grant awards so far. And last year, it raised $34 million nationwide. In Sitka, eight people, including Vastola himself, are slated to have their heads shaved.
The only haircuts I've had for the last 3 years have been St. Baldrick's.
So far, the shavees have raised nearly $12,000 and only need a little more than $3,000 to reach this year's goal. Lubin has raised more than $2,500 herself. She says she was thinking about shaving her head before, and this just gives her another reason to go for it. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ann Bryce.
The St. Baldrick's Day event begins tonight, 6 o'clock, at the Elks Club. It's free and open to the public. Southeast's Inner Island Ferry Authority will soon be short on cash. The authority sails between Prince of Wales Island and Ketchikan. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Inner Island Ferry Authority officials say it only has about four-fifths of the money it needs for the next budget year. General Manager Dennis Watson says that's because the IFA did not get an appropriation from the legislature.
Generally, in one form or another, we get some assistance from them every year. It's a very important part of our operation, but the request was not granted, and so it left us short, and we are scrambling right now to try to identify alternative funding sources.
The Hollis-based IFA ferry Stikeen sails daily, year-round, except for some holidays. It's a nonprofit operation separate from the Alaska Marine Highway System. Watson, who is also mayor of Craig, says the authority looked at dropping one of its two crews and reducing service to 4 days a week. But it's locked into personnel costs it would still have to pay, and dropping sailings would lower revenue and hurt Prince of Wales communities dependent on the ferry.
We have people that actually have businesses that are built around us operating. We have a large fish receiving plant out here in Craig, and they use our service 100%. And if we don't operate 7 days a week, there are a lot of people that suffer because of it.
Watson says running the system costs about $4 million a year. Three-quarters of that comes from passenger and vehicle fares. The federal government also chips in. That leaves a three-quarter million-dollar gap, which the legislature usually fills.
We are working with the staff of the federal delegation to see if we can identify federal sources to help us with this.
Watson says raising rates won't work either. Past experience shows ridership drops when ticket prices are much higher than they are now. The Inter Island Ferry Authority has a second ship, the Prince of Wales, which is tied up except for when the Stikeen is in for maintenance. Officials have considered selling it to raise some revenue and cut docking and insurance costs, but Watson says it's needed as a backup vessel in times of emergency.
Last year, we swallowed two valves in one of our mains in our primary vessel, and by that evening, we had them swapped out, and the people that were waiting in town, we got them over to Prince of Wales, you know, and had we not had that vessel there, you know, things like that wouldn't have been able to happen.
The IFA bought that second ship to sail a northern route between Kaufman Cove, Wrangell, and Petersburg. But ridership was low, and the sailings were dropped. Meanwhile, there's no threat of an immediate shutdown to the Ketchikan-Hollis route. That's because the IFA has financial reserves that can take it through early next year. But draining those would leave the system vulnerable to future shortfalls. I'm Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
During a recent United Youth Courts of Alaska meeting in Homer, members elected a Ketchikan teenager as the new youth president for the statewide organization. He spoke with KRBD's Layla Carey and Youth Court and his new position for this report.
Trevor Shaw wasn't sure about joining the local youth court, but his mother and grandmother...
They decided that's what I should do. Well, I got involved and I've loved it ever since. I want to go get a degree in criminology, and then after that I would like to attend law school. So it's been a great experience. It's provided me with a passion, one that has grown quite a bit, and I just love it, and I love being able to help people, and it's just been great.
The 17-year-old Shaw signed up 2 years ago, and since then he's become president of the Ketchikan Youth Court and a paid staff member of his hometown office. Now he'll also take the statewide leadership seat that previously was held by yet another Ketchikan teenager.
That was Austin Otis. And this is the first time any youth court in the state has held the position 2 years in a row.
The state youth court board has 24 members, half adults and half youth. Youth members are elected at the annual conference, and the youth president, that's Shaw, serves with the adult president as co-executive director. Together, they run meetings and take care of administrative functions for the next year. Youth Court is a nationwide program that aims to take first-time youthful offenders out of the regular criminal justice system.
Kids like charged with minor consuming, a misdemeanor, or an infraction, they will get referred to us. They will go through our process, which starts with an intake interview and goes all the way right up to sentence completion. And all of the attorneys and judges involved are youth members. And what happens is after they complete our program, the citation, the charge will get dismissed off their record.
The sentencing takes place in the organization's own court, which meets most Monday afternoons. If found guilty, participants usually are sentenced to community work service. Shaw says the program is great for young, first-time offenders, and he likens it to a get-out-of-jail-free card.
It's a second chance, and I think it's good that kids can get that because kids will be kids. We make mistakes, and if they can get a chance to learn from their mistakes and not be able to make those mistakes again, I'm proud to be a part of that process.
Shaw loves the local youth court and says he's excited to get involved on the state level. He says it's particularly satisfying that a Ketchikan member has been chosen as president 2 years in a row. Shaw will serve until the next annual spring meeting, which will take place in Ketchikan. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
And that's all for Raven News. You are listening to KCAW in Sitka.